Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 24. The Reverend James Baumgartner is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our reading for this morning is from Matthew chapter 11, 20 through 24. Then Jesus began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ be with you, my friends, and in his name. Amen. Throughout the Exodus story, I think it's fair to say that we catch glimpses of the frustration that Moses has. I mean, sure, Moses in and of himself, he had his own problems, he had his own missteps, but he was the Lord's anointed one, chosen for that moment to set the people of God free. But just think about this story. After the miraculous plagues, after the Exodus from Egypt and the parting of the sea, after the Lord God Almighty placed his very word into the lives of God's people at Mount Sinai, after he dwelled with them in fire and smoke in the most holy place of the tabernacle and moved with them, even led them when they set out, after the water from the rock, after the bread from heaven, after all of those mighty works, it was clear they had everything they needed in this life. The giver of all good gifts had given them himself. But when the spies came back from the promised land and they brought the people a bad report, Numbers 14 says that the entire congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to one another, "Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt." And with that, they rejected God's anointed one, and they longed to return to their slave masters and to the chains and to the oppression. And so the frustration of that moment is palpable in the text. And here's why, because then the text reads, "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces." You could feel the frustration. After all the people had seen and heard, after all they had gone through, and after all the witnessing of the signs and the wonders and the mighty works of the Lord and the consistent faithfulness of our God, the people's only desire was to turn away, to go back to slavery, to reject Moses, and to reject the promise and the inheritance of the land. And by doing so, they receive the woes of God. Banishment from the promise, death in the wilderness, removal from the inheritance. Now, I see that theme running in the background of our text today out of Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11 opens up with that story of the disciples of John the Baptist going up to Jesus and asking him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answers them, and he says, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who's not offended by me." And then when Jesus turns from that conversation, he immediately launches into our reading today with dire frustration in his voice. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But for you, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you." Both Chorazin and Bethsaida were little villages on the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee. They're in Israel, right? That Tyre and Sidon, President Harrison talked about them on Monday, right? Those are Gentile cities far north in, along the Mediterranean Sea. And so you see what this is. Israel has once again closed their eyes to the signs and the wonders and the gifts and the blessings and the word of the Lord given to them in their midst. Rejecting the anointed one who stands right before their eyes, sent by God in favor of the ways of this world and the ways of death, rejecting the inheritance of God, they set their faces towards death. They had everything that they needed in Jesus, but they sent him away and they set their faces back to slavery. And what's more, Jesus uses the moment to teach us that hell's punishment is far more severe for those who have laid eyes on that promise and have chosen to turn back. As Hebrews 6 reminds us, for those who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away. Worse for those who know and reject than for those who never know, because God is that perfect judge. And so we have this theme that sort of winds its way through the pages of Scripture. Slavery and freedom. Warnings and blessings. Woes and beatitudes. And they all center around the kingdom of God, the journey towards this inheritance for God's people, and the anointed one who comes to save. And St. Paul beautifully takes that theme and he launches it into your life today. In 1 Corinthians 10, he reaches all the way back to those Israelites in the wilderness. And then our text from Matthew 11 sort of kind of gets caught up along the way as he throws it into our laps today. And he says, these things all took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation is overtaking you that is not common to men. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. And it strikes me that the Lord has always been faithful to his people to provide that means of escape. The lamb's blood on the doorframe to escape death. The parting of the sea to escape the army, the presence in the tabernacle to escape abandonment, the water from the rock to escape thirst, the bread from heaven to escape hunger, mighty works of the Lord. Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum, I also witnessed that way of escape though, right? The blind received their sight, the lame walked, lepers were cleansed, the deaf heard, the dead were raised up, and the poor had good news preached to them. The Israelites had all they needed. Chorazin and Bethsaida, they had all they needed, but what unites them together is the rejection of the Anointed One, the rejection of the inheritance that comes through him. And so, dear friends, in Christ today, with the themes and the patterns of Scripture continue right into our own lives. Do you see it? Do you see the Lord's hand in your own history, the times of his mighty faithfulness to you? The bold movements of his power in order to save you. The days long ago when it felt like you were right there on the Mount of Transfiguration itself, seeing the glory of the Lord before your eyes, where his mighty works were evident in your life. But also when those works of power are completely absent, and all you have before you is frustration. And when all is quiet around you in the wilderness, and yet you still have that quiet whisper of God's word, where he quietly gives you baptismal waters to drink from, welling up from an eternal spring that never runs dry, where he quietly gives you his very body and his blood to eat and to drink when you hunger for righteousness. You see, you too have everything you need in this life. God has blessed you with both mighty works that take your breath away, as well as quiet, steadfast reassurance when those mighty works feel absent. Because the giver of all good gifts has given you the one thing that is needed most throughout all of these stories and that unites them all together. He has given you himself, his presence, The word you have heard, the word you have seen, united in the power and the wonder and the foolishness and the weakness of the cross. God's faithfulness on full display to all the world as the Anointed One is lifted high. The giver of all good gifts has given you Himself as the way of escaping sin's punishment, as the promise, as the inheritance. Though He was despised, though He was rejected, a man of sorrows, a man of frustration, acquainted with grief and filled with woes, and yet faithful to forgive all who trust His power to forgive. Only don't turn back, Jesus reminds us today. Don't look away in these last days. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Don't close your ears or shut your heart, for the Lord is here in your life, and the Lord goes before you in your wilderness. Remember His mighty works in your life. He holds the victory. Remember the faithful presence of His word and promises in the days of sorrow, because He is here for you. And He was dead, but now He is alive, and His promises are true, and His inheritance is eternal. He is faithful to lead you through this mortal life. He is faithful to guide you across this dry and this weary land, faithful to feed you and to quench your thirst for that righteousness through mighty works and through steadfast, quiet grace. He is faithful to go before you across Jordan's shores and across the threshold of death itself in order to welcome you with open arms into what has always been promised, the children of God, not just to Israel of old, but to Gentiles and to all the distant shores who look upon His works in repentance and all who call upon His name, life eternal in the kingdom of God, the promise of salvation through Christ Jesus, God's anointed Messiah, if only you trust Him to bring you home. And may His peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts until life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.